In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. The Spirit has changed everything. The fearful and timid disciples in Luke's gospel have been transformed. And they've been shaped in a new image, the image of Jesus. They've been preaching like Jesus. They've been healing like Jesus. They've been arrested and suffered like Jesus. And finally, we saw last week with Stephen, they have begun to die in the image of Jesus. This community, this new community that the Spirit has created, has been shaped in the image of Jesus. But the story is not over. Saul, who is overwatching the execution of Stephen and his death in the imitation of Jesus, Saul begins a great persecution against the Christians all throughout Jerusalem, throwing them in prison and harming them. This persecution actually works in favor of the message of Jesus. For the persecution actually scatters the Christians outside of Jerusalem so that they must continue the mission that Jesus had given them back in Acts 1, that you will spread the gospel in Jerusalem and then into Judea and Samaria and finally to the ends of the earth. And it is the persecution that gets them off their butts out into Judea and Samaria, and the gospel that Saul is trying to stop begins to spread because of his persecutions. Philip is the one that we follow in our episodes this morning. Philip, one of the seven set aside in order to take care of the widows in Jerusalem. But now that has all been thrown on its head as the community is scattered abroad. Philip finds himself heading north into Samaria, the capital city of the Samaritans. Now we must pause and remember what the Samaritans were. They were half-brothers of the Israelites, hated because of their relationship to the people of God. You may remember Solomon had enslaved his people, put them to work to build his temple, to build his palaces, to build his barns for storehouses for his wealth. And the northern 10 tribes, after Solomon died, said, "We're out. We are done with you. We don't care about Jerusalem and your temple, Solomon." And so the northern tribes split off forever at that point. And the northern 10 tribes believed that you didn't worship God in the temple in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. You worship God at Mount Gerizim near Samaria. And they became what is known as the Samaritans. And after the Assyrians had conquered them, they had begun inbreeding with the Assyrians, and they had gone further and further away from the Lord. So Samaritans were fringe Israelites, hated probably more than anyone that the Israelites hated. And so Philip finds himself in this deeply enemy territory, a fringe group of Israelites preaching the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah, that this man who challenges the temple as Stephen had just preached, who challenges the fact that the Israelites were seeing the world through their myopic, self-centered lens, that God was bigger than this, bigger than the temple in Jerusalem, bigger than the line of King David. And so the Samaritans take to this message that the true Messiah isn't all about the temple in Jerusalem that they hated. And they begin to listen to Philip, his preaching, his healings, his exorcisms, just as Jesus had done. And the Samaritans are flocking to Jesus as the Messiah. But in the meantime, before Philip had shown up, there was a man named Simon. This Simon was very powerful in the world's ways. He had done magic and sorcery of sorts that kept the people thinking, this Simon is the great power of God himself. But when Simon and the crowds saw what Philip was doing through the gospel and the Holy Spirit, they saw a power greater than Simon's. And they started to be baptized by Philip. And even this Simon, seeing the power of the Holy Spirit, thought, I'd like to get a piece of that power. So he submits to baptism. And so the people in Samaria have started to be baptized. But there is no real community yet. The Spirit has not been poured out. And as we know in Acts, when the Spirit is poured out, community is shaped and formed. And we're told that the Samaritans are still holding on to their own possessions in the name of the Lord Jesus. They're still living their individualistic lives. And so Peter and John come up from Jerusalem to visit them, to lay on their hands and to give them the Holy Spirit and to create community. Their baptisms without community were really no good. And so Peter and John come up to Samaria and they lay hands on them. And we're told that the community is formed. And people begin, just as they had done in Jerusalem, every time the Spirit was poured out, they begin laying their possessions at the apostles' feet and saying, "We're all in. We are a part of a new family, a new community built around Jesus the Messiah. This is God's people." Simon sees this and thinks, "So I guess you just bring money to the apostles and you can get the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll do that." So Simon brings his money, lays it at the apostles' feet, just as he saw others doing, thinking you can buy the Holy Spirit. Peter sees this act and knows the heart of Simon and says, "Simon, you and your money be destroyed. We don't want any part of this. For you think that you can purchase God. God is not a commodity at the marketplace. These people aren't bringing their possessions because you buy God. They're bringing their possessions because they're all in with a new community." Simon, on the brink of being another Ananias and Sapphira, terrified at the prospect of what he's gotten himself into, begins the process of repentance and says, "Pray for me, Peter, that I would not fall into the destruction that you have foretold." And that's the end of that story as Philip is whisked away to the south. Philip is taken south by the Spirit down to the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, which heads into Africa. And on the road, Philip sees a man, an Ethiopian eunuch, coming from Jerusalem, having worshipped in Jerusalem. This man was a fringe Israelite. His dark skin of Ethiopian heritage marked him as not being a blood relative of Abraham. So he was on the fringes. And he was a eunuch. And the Torah said if your body had been hurt and destroyed in such a way, you couldn't be a true member of Israel. But this man wants to be a part of Israel. And so he's been worshiping in Jerusalem as a fringe outsider. Philip is told by the Spirit to approach this man. And he hears him reading the prophet Isaiah. This man is fascinated by the scriptures. And so Philip asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man says, "How can I understand unless I have somebody to guide me, to teach me, to walk me through it?" And so he invites Philip, "Join me, teach me, show me the way. Who is the prophet speaking about here in Isaiah 53? So Philip takes the opportunity to hop in the chariot with this man, and he begins to tell him about the Messiah, Jesus, who has radically changed the world, who is Israel's Messiah, forming a new community and people of God. And this man, hearing this message, says, "What prevents me, even though I'm a eunuch, even though I'm not of blood relationship to Abraham, I'm an outsider with dark skin according to them, what prevents me from joining this Messiah?" Nothing. And so they stop the chariot. Ethiopian and Philip go into the water, and the Ethiopian is baptized in the name of Jesus. And Philip is taken away from him, and the Ethiopian goes into Africa with the gospel, spreading the news of the Messiah to the fringes and deeper into the heart of the world. Community. It's all about community. As we step through Acts, at every turn, every story, every episode, at the heart of it is community in Jesus. Can we see it in our two stories today? Notice how Philip begins spreading the gospel in Samaria. They're baptized in the name of Jesus, but without the community, there is no Holy Spirit. And then when Philip encounters the man reading the scriptures, he's reading his Bible, but without community guidance, he can't make any sense of it. Community enables us to understand the scriptures properly. Community is at the center of what Jesus is bringing into the world. His salvation comes through community and through no other way. Without community, no Holy Spirit. Without community, you can read your Bible, but you won't understand it. So we have to ask ourselves and challenge ourselves again this morning, asking ourselves as we read Acts, are we really in community with Jesus and his people? And asking ourselves as individuals, am I really giving my life to be a part of the community of Jesus? Or maybe am I kind of like Simon in our story, thinking I can get the goods, I can get what I want from Jesus, his salvation, his Holy Spirit, his power, I can get that. I'll bring some offerings to church, I'll give some money, and then maybe I can get access to the things I want. But I don't really have to go all in to a new community. Might that be us in some ways? Or like the Ethiopian man, might we have been trained by our culture to think I can have a personal faith? It's just about me and Jesus. I can read my Bible on my own. Jesus will just talk to me one-on-one. But when we see the story of the Ethiopian man, the truth is, how can any of us understand the scriptures unless we're together in community, wrestling with his word, having guides and teachers to help us open our eyes to the truth of God's word? Have we personalized our faith to the detriment that there is no real community for us? We are gathered in this place today. This is good. This can be the beginnings of real Christian community. This can be real Christian community. We are here. But we must challenge ourselves to recognize that just showing up to church may not be real community. And how can we accept the call of Jesus, the call of the Holy Spirit, to be community, to unite ourselves to Jesus and to one another, to see each other as brothers and sisters, with stronger bonds because of Jesus than even our blood relatives? That we would be family and community in this place that share life together. That we give our resources to each other to make sure that there's no needy person among us. That we read the scriptures together, recognizing that without Bible study with one another, we'll never get it. We need each other because Jesus dwells in the community of the body of Christ. There is no other place to meet Jesus than within community. That is where he dwells. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. It's all about community. We need each other because we are the presence of Jesus to each other. And without each other, we'll be lost. We need each other because we need the Jesus in each other. So let us be inspired by the apostles again this day to deepen and strengthen the community that we already do have, to turn away from where we've become maybe too individualistic and bond ourselves to one another in Jesus, to share life, to share resources, to be all in. To read and study the scriptures together more and more because we need each other, because Jesus is here through community. His salvation and life comes through community. May we not toss that aside. It's right here available to us. May we embrace it. Amen.